This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Obviously a little disappointed with what the team was able to accomplish the first 70 games, and then the kind of the point spread that we had between not only the teams in the league, but the teams in our division or conference. So have three games dictate where we fall in the conference standings is somewhat disappointing.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
There's no need to be talking about it. It's just time to go do it. Right now, it's, you know, kind of moving in silence, which is fine with me. It's how I used to do it before getting on a bigger stage. So I'm happy to get back to those roots.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
It's just sad that we got to hear about things happening in our workplace and stuff like that via Twitter. I mean, it's good. It's entertaining. It's fun. But just want to come on communication. Let us know. Don't just string us along. NBA starting. If NBA finishes, let us know.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this Thursday afternoon.
A little hot, a little steamy out there today. A little sticky, a little moist.
I was
really tempted to wear a tank top in today. I'm not going to lie. Now I'm kind of happy I didn't, because for some reason there's a lot of people in the building today.
Were your thighs rubbing together?
Oh, thighs are rubbing, baby. They're burning. Went for a long walk today. Need some baby powder down there. Ease them up.
You know, two things. I saw this yesterday leaving, and I coincidentally saw something similar today coming in. And I don't know if you and I have ever talked about this.
Okay, what do you got?
So you recently just got a new truck, mm-hmm. right? What, you've had that, what, 2-3 months?
No, longer than that. I got it in...
Was it 19?
Well, the accident happened at the beginning of August. So I think we got it at the end of August.
Okay. Because it's been a while.
Yeah, we totaled our car like the first week in August. So I think we got it a few weeks after that.
Okay, so you've had a new car for 10 months.
Yeah.
Did you ever, when you were going through the car buying process, did you ever consider vanity plates? And what are your thoughts on vanity plates?
Vanity, as in like saying, like the license plate saying something?
Yeah, it's a custom message.
I did not consider it, yeah. Although I'm not opposed to the idea.
Well, you put something dirt up there.
This is my opinion. This is only my opinion.
Be dirty.
So if you disagree, it's okay.
Is that too long? Are there enough characters there?
I think it's pretty douchey when you put your own name on a plate.
Wow.
When you make it
known.
When you make it known who you are. Why are you doing that? You're doing that for attention. You're doing that so somebody can go, oh, are you Jeff? Are you Jeff M?
Well, okay.
You do a nickname? Okay. Because that is an inside thing. If people don't know you, your nickname
is
whatever.
So if Dirt's on there.
Sure.
If Dirt's on there, Dirt's doing it because he's douchey.
Andy's Ride or something like that.
That's too many characters. I think you can only have 7.
Well, you got to abbreviate it, but.
Come up with a new abbreviation for Ride.
Put something more creative on it. Don't put just your name.
Well, I would like to point out for the listeners, I do not have vanity plates.
It says Andy on the front, Johnson on the back.
I have normal license. I don't even have my license plate memorized, actually, which is bad. I probably should. I do have like the, I have like cover, like the license plate covers. I got, yeah. I got duck one of those. It's all duck stuff.
I've seen a million of those duck ones, Bieber ones.
It's like, dude, I'd rather have that than just like your generic Toyota Portland. You're not that I don't like repping Toyota Portland, but I like repping the teams.
You want your,
there,
you want your colors on.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you
want
to fly your flag on that truck.
Well, I was driving home and. Well, I didn't drive home. I had an appointment after the show, but on my way to set appointment, I was behind a Viking fan.
Uh-huh.
And he's driving like an all-white town car. Okay. You know those cars that come pick up athletes or celebrities?
For
one
sure.
of those, tinted windows, and had a Viking license plate cover, and it said P space chop.
P-Chop.
And who's P-Chop?
It's Pork Chop, man.
Well, is that his nickname? Is his name P something Chop? Is that a reference to an inside joke? I had so many questions about this vanity plate. And then I wondered, would I ever get a vanity plate? And I've had multiple cars. I've never thought about actually spending extra money for said vanity plate.
You throw a spritz on the back of that car and you're good to go, man. That's all you need.
B-Spritz.
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 Who the hell is that?
Yeah, tell the real Brandon Spritz sees it at a grocery store. He goes, what the hell?
The only person that I know that has vanity plates that you guys met this weekend is my old high school baseball coach.
Okay,
but he played in the bachelor tournament.
But he was also, it looked like his rig he was driving was his company car. Was it a company related vanity plate?
Well, the company is named after him, so I guess to a certain extent, yeah. If you want to make that conclusion, you can. But it's his shortened last name and then his old number. That's his license plate. He has the and they're also now. I am not opposed to these either. I would actually be more willing to do that. He has like the special because you can get team logoed plates now.
Yeah, yeah,
you get
that's
the Blazer
cool.
one. So he has the duck logoed plate with the vanity written on it as well.
Well, I didn't notice that. I actually parked behind his truck for one of the days, but I didn't notice the vanity plate.
He's got a big rig. I would need like a stepladder to get into that thing.
But what does he do? What was his?
He runs an electrician company.
He's an electrician.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of a weird circumstance. I think I give him a pass on
you
the last name because the car had the company name all
right.
over it.
Right. The last name is the company name.
Yeah.
So technically it is a part of the license plate as well.
It's more advertising
that's
in that
branding
regard.
Right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. That's smart branding.
You go branding on that one.
But
okay.
if you have my Toyota Camry silver with no team plate surrounding it and it just says Bob Stevens.
You're like, well,
nah. What are you doing that for?
Interesting. You're anti this. Okay.
No. I'm not anti.
Yeah,
you're
a little anti.
No, you're misinterpreting.
You're poo-pooing the vanity plate.
I'm poo-pooing the vanity plate if you're just putting your name on it. Why?
What about the ass man? Is that
sure,
okay?
Sure, that's cool.
Okay.
I told you, nicknames.
Nicknames are okay.
If it's company related, okay. you get a pass, even if it's your name.
You don't want just like a John back there.
That would actually be kind of funny. If there's no... Yeah, I don't know. I just
depends on the name.
The name in itself, I don't understand the purpose of you just do a name. You do a nickname, you do a funny thing, yeah, company thing. I get all that. Team-related stuff. Okay. Why do you just need to put Bob
yeah.
S?
If I will say this. If I had bought the truck and ordered, I don't even know how much vanity plates are. I don't think they're that expensive.
I think they're like an extra $30.
Yeah, I don't
I might
think
be wrong on
I
that.
I don't think it's. I think it's a little bit more than that, but it's not like outrageously
they keep
expensive.
Jacking everything up across the
sure.
board, so.
That's very true.
It's now
Let's
getting...
not dive into that conversation, man.
Yeah, tell me about it. We're Jeez. Doing like the marriage license right now. I got to pay you to get married? What
yeah.
the hell
oh,
is
yeah.
this nonsense?
Oh, yeah.
This is bogus. That's... You should be paying me to get married.
That's mm. one of the many things
if
that people say.
You officially want your tax break. They got to know about it.
This is bogus.
It's one of the many things people say about not getting married. It's like, why? So you
what's
can.
What's the point?
So yeah. the government can get involved? Yeah. No, thank you.
Although the tax break will be nice. If I had bought the truck, though, and I showed up with a license plate that said dirt, I would be I would be totally accepting of you making fun of me. I would. Now, I would probably show no shame in that.
Yeah, if you're doing it,
right?
It's what you like. Who
but
gives an S what I think?
There would be a space in the back of my mind where I would totally understand the ridicule that would be thrown my way.
Now,
like, I would totally get it.
There is, the only thing you got to be careful of, because sometimes, especially if it's like a older, like a 30th wedding anniversary and one spouse gives like the dream car to the other and they do the vanity plate for them and it's a gift. Is that an exemption there?
Well, what is the vanity plate? Just the name? Again, nobody yeah. can give me a logical reason of why you need your name on your license plate. Your license plate number tells
everybody
who your name is.
But if you didn't do it, if your spouse tried to surprise you.
If
yeah,
it's a gift,
it wasn't, yeah.
Look, it's a gift. Yeah, I'll give you a pass. But if I don't know you and I see it, I'm going to. I'm going to have a judgment on it.
It wasn't me. She bought it for me.
Put a sign in the back window if you want. I don't understand the point of the last name.
Somebody said the Sean's has Rip City on his car.
See, that's badass.
His Cadillac is fantastic.
That's pretty cool.
Does Dame have anything cool? I've never seen any custom plates when he leaves the parking garage.
I think, again, there's differing levels of celebrity, right? Like, I think somebody of our level, like, there's probably people at our level that want the recognition.
We don't have any celebrity.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, if you, like, I would say, I would, like, a radio host, I think, would be very likely to throw something like that on their car so you could do, like, a look at me, I'm that guy, in case there's a listener. I don't think a professional basketball player wants that attention.
No. MJ, every single MJ car in the dock had his custom plate said MJ or Air.
He's a different cat.
Yeah.
Well. Right? Like, because if you're driving behind a nice car with, like, tinted windows and it says Dame Time on it, like, in the license plate.
You're assuming.
You're going to know exactly who that is, and then you're going to get some creeper that's going to, like, follow them around and try and find out where they live or where they're going.
See, in the reverse effect, I wondered how many morons, when the blazer plates got announced, how many morons out there instantly thought of trying to fool people into thinking they were somebody they weren't.
They were that guy.
By getting
guy.
Like a custom D-Dollar license plate Blazers with a tinted window Range Rover or something. I that really went through my mind because I know there's people out there. They just want people to come up to them thinking they're famous just to have that moment in their life.
Oh, no, that's not me, but thanks for stopping by and saying hi.
And by the way, full disclosure, if anybody is going to be doing this move, it is absolutely radio people.
Yeah, without a doubt.
There are so many douchey, egotistical people in this business.
With
it's ridiculous.
Huge heads, no doubt about it.
Yes. You know what I did 35 years ago? No, and I don't really care.
No, I don't know. Somebody said I saw the vanity plate the other day that was 6969.
Nice. All right, let's find out what's on tap for today's show.
Dirt and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on tap brought to you in the Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com.
They said they had a neighbor that had an old vanity plate that said, eat out. mixed messaging there.
See, I don't like the nameplate. I love the jokey nickname plates.
The one that'll get you to think.
Yeah. Like the Peed Shop. I want to know what that deal was. I followed him for like 3 miles.
You wanted to pull him over just to get the inside scoop?
Whoop, whoop.
Dude, what's
citizen's arrest.
What's your deal, man? I'm going to throw a poll question up right now.
Okay. All right. We got a lot to get to today. Max Scherzer. May have heard of him. He throws a baseball really fast.
He also has two different colored eyes, which is pretty cool.
And he's a World Series champion.
That he is, Bob.
Was he the MVP of that series?
No, Steven Strasburg was.
That's right. Strassi had a great series.
I actually just rewatched Game 7 the other day. It was on MLB Network.
It's going to be an underrated series when we look back in 20 years.
Dude, that was a great game, too. Remember, Greinke was on fire. It was 2-0 Astros. And then they hit the home runs to take the lead in the seventh, and it was, like, shocking everybody. Great series.
And that Nats team started 19-31.
Yeah.
Improbable turnaround.
And they had to come back and beat the Dodgers in the division series.
All right, so we'll get to the Max Scherzer comments. At 12:30, we'll talk with Corey Brock, who covers the Seattle Mariners. He'll join us. Now, it's not to talk Mariners specifics, but we can pick his brain on what they're doing with their farm system, and then also just his general thoughts. He covers Major League Baseball for a living, and I think all these writers are observing and reading everything they can. So Corey Brock will join us for the Daily Ticker. Jadeveon Clowney turned down the Cleveland Browns. And is Antonio Brown to Seattle a smart move? Getting some NFL stuff today. Akili Smith, former Duck quarterback, NFL quarterback. He's now a coach at his alma mater in San Diego. He's going to join us at 1 o'clock today. At least I hope so.
Oh.
He kind of strikes me as might not answer if he doesn't have your number guy.
If he forgets that you set this one up.
Well, that too.
Just keep calling him.
It was just 2 days ago we set it up. But so Akili Smith will join us at 1. We'll talk about the future of the match with Mickelson, Woods, Brady, and Manning.
They want to make it an annual thing.
And they want to add different celebrities. This could be a great tournament yearly. We've got Power 5 conferences potentially bouncing from the NCAA because of this COVID situation and them just wanting to do their own thing. crunch time to get to, and Swag's dirty bag of plums.
Oh, they're dirty today?
I have a rumor. There was somebody in this building
a little dirty
that told me Swag's bag was extremely big but dirty.
Probably the mustache.
So we're,
I'm all gravy, baby.
I think the drapes are matching the carpet. I think we got to open this bag and find out.
How long are you going to let that stash go for? It looks good. I'm not going to lie.
Until he gets arrested by a father.
Look, we're all in quarantine. What?
You look like a 1980s country club racist.
I need to bring my Oakleys in for him.
Look,
to pull off the look.
There's
man.
No betting at Bushwood, and I never slice.
God, we might have to take a picture and put your face out there, man. It's great. Keep growing the stash. I love it.
But I need to shave the stubble's growing on the beard. Yeah. I need to shave up the beard and get
tighten
that out of there. And
tighten it up.
Oh, man.
Clean it up.
You look like a coach that nobody wants to play for.
Billy, get over here.
All right, we'll start with Max Scherzer. Happy Thursday. Durton Sprague with you. Max Scherzer's comments regarding the player's stance on Major League Baseball. We'll get to that next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 12:18. I just want to pass this along. As somebody who uses social media, Donald Trump is signing an executive order that would let U.S. citizens submit complaints if they feel they have been unfairly treated by social networks.
Next time I get trolled, I'm filing a complaint.
You're damn right I am. You want to tell me I suck? I'll suck on this one. Complaint filed.
Who do you file it with? Who do you go through?
What do they do?
What do they search that person down?
Not every complaint's going to be valid.
Do you get punished? How many complaints are going to be on a daily basis? Like Twitter, all of social media is just a cesspool to begin with.
Is it wild to anybody else that this is like an actual concern of
the
president
man.
Of the United States right now?
It's a thing.
Why is this?
You can't bully people on social media anymore, apparently.
I didn't know fact-checking was bullying, but that's neither here nor there. Let's get to Max Scherzer, who released this comment last night. He said, after discussing the latest developments with the rest of the players, there's no reason to engage with Major League Baseball in any further compensation reductions. We have previously negotiated a pay cut in the version of prorated salaries, and there's no justification to accept a second pay cut based upon the current information the union has received. I'm glad to hear other players voicing the same viewpoint and believe Major League Baseball's economic strategy would completely change if all documentation were to become public information.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this came up last night as well, and I saw this from Passan. I'm sure many other writers had it. Rosenthal, Heyman, mm-hmm. all of them. The MLB Players Association has actually countered Major League Baseball's proposal by countering asking to extend the season to the more than 100 games and guarantee full prorated salaries for the 2020 season. So they said, all right, you want 82 and you want us to take on this big, you know, pay cut. You want to split revenues 50-50, et cetera. What if we just add more games? We're willing to play more games than 82. And we go back to what we originally agreed with in prorated salaries.
Yeah, we already agreed to a pay reduction in March. Let's stick with that, but let's find a way to make it work for everybody. A couple of things on this. It's amazing how Major League Baseball finds a way to shoot themselves in the foot constantly. I feel like, do it better than any other professional sport. Like, you have positive news around the NBA right now. They're looking like it's going to come back and it's going to be in Orlando. The NHL is right around the corner from starting. You have the Premier League that's going to begin in June. The Women's Soccer League, I think, announced today that they're coming back. Like, there's been positive momentum for almost every single sport, and they're all, it seems like, around the corner from getting back underway. And here is Major League Baseball continuing to fight about this when really they had a chance to capitalize on being the first one back and growing the sport. It's amazing. They're shooting both of their feet right now, and I think it's going to hurt the game long run no matter what ends up happening in this scenario. The Scherzer comments I love for a couple of reasons. One is the fact that they're just saying, hey, owners keep telling us they're losing all this money, but we haven't seen any of that proof.
Like, where's the record revenues that you've had the last 4 years? Why don't you save any of that?
There was $11 billion revenue last year as a league. Show us the documents that point out exactly how badly you're going to be hurt this year, because we already agreed again to a 50% pay cut in playing an 82-game season, but now you're saying you need more than that. We can't see the financials. So good for the players for saying, until you show us the books and show us how rough off you are financially, we're not going to agree to a player for further cuts in salary. They're not even going to counter that offer financially. They're just going to act like it never even happened, which I think is the right thing to do. And I'm with you. I like the idea of saying, okay, we agreed to a prorated salary for 82 games. Here's our counter. We will play 100 games, essentially saying we'll play 18 games for free because they agreed to a prorated salary for 82 games. So they're going to end up playing 18 games for free, and I feel like that's a pretty fair counter offer, and now the ball's back in the owner's court once it's officially submitted.
Well, and we'll see where the owners come in on this one. Given what they've suggested, I'm not necessarily certain they're going to be all in on, we'll play more games. Yeah, we'll go back to prorated salaries. Maybe they end up doing that just out of sheer desperation. What I find interesting is, one, Scherzer kind of calling them out and say, prove this.
Right.
You're broke? You're going to lose $3 billion? All right, show us the financials of what you've had the last couple years and where you currently sit, and then we'll have a further discussion. Whether that's true or not from the Players Association, when a guy like this, and look, he's a guy that from time to time will speak his mind on stuff, but I don't think people put him in that category of he's full of hot air and he's always giving out hot takes. Max Scherzer talking yesterday, I think, benefited the Players Association greatly. And here's the other part of this whole, you know, stupid dynamic, because you mentioned, God bless the NBA, God bless hockey, the MLS potentially, Premier League soccer's coming back. Like, I'm glad we're getting some sports back. It's great. But on the topic of baseball, what bothers me the most is how the owners basically, we gloss over the fact that this doesn't exist without the players. You want scabs? Have fun. I'm not watching scab
Nobody's
baseball.
Nobody's going to watch that.
I don't want to watch that crap.
No.
So you want to do that, you can go right ahead. I guarantee your ratings won't be nearly half of what you even hope. No. So you need the players in this circumstance. And it's just funny to me that the league doesn't exist without the players. And yet here we are where the players get bashed the most. So I love that he was willing to call him out. I don't necessarily agree with everything. Yeah, I do think there's some things that they could maybe give up to a certain extent. And that's part of negotiating. That's part of bargaining. That's part of putting together a season that may, in almost any other circumstance, not even happen. But I'm kind of glad that he did this. I'm glad that he said, prove it. Show us the financials.
Right,
you want us to really take a cut here? Show us how much you're really hurting. I don't know if baseball's going to be willing to do that, because I personally don't think they are hurting. They've made $11 billion, $11 billion, $12 billion, $11 billion. They've been raking it in.
Yeah, they shouldn't be hurting, at least. They might be, but they shouldn't be if they've been smart with their money over the last handful of years. You mentioned Scherzer and the leadership role he's on. I think he's on one of the, kind of upper tiers of the Players Association when it comes to negotiating a group of like 8 or 9 guys. So he's clearly a voice. But the more you read about this from people in the know in baseball, they'll tell you that the owners knew exactly what they were doing in this case, because they had a two-part strategy of, one, turning the players against each other in this process, because there's going to be a lot of guys that need a paycheck this year, right? If you don't have a season, you got a lot of those lower-level guys who are just breaking into the big leagues. I know it sounds crazy, but most of them are not financially set for the rest of their lives, and they're making a decent amount of money, but not life-changing money year in and year out. So those kind of guys are actually going to be desperate for a paycheck. So they knew there was going to be some infighting amongst the Players Association of saying, like, cry me a river, Mike Trout. You're going to go from making $37 million to $6 million. You're still making $6 million a year. What are you complaining about? We need these paychecks. So they knew exactly what they were doing in that regard. And the other thing that it does is it galvanizes support against the players, or I guess animosity against the players, because a lot of people see this stuff, and it's a really hard sell for Major League Baseball players when it comes out and says, well, you're going to go from making $30 million to $10 million this year. That's, you're going to fall on deaf ears in the public, because everybody's struggling financially right now, and everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people across this country are taking pay cuts to continue to work and keep their jobs. So people are going to look at that and say, why shouldn't Major League Baseball players have to do the same thing? So the owners, that was their whole approach here. They knew that this was never going to get approved. They knew the players would never come to an agreement on this. They just wanted to rattle the cage of the Players Association, get the players pissed off at each other, and then galvanize that animosity towards the players. And I'd say, to a certain extent, they've done a good job of that so far.
Well, you know, here's my next question, and we'll ask our guest, Corey Brock, who covers the Seattle Mariners. He's a good friend of the show, and he's going to join us coming up here in just a second. Also, a lot of farm systems are beginning to make drastic changes. The Mets and Reds today are just straight cutting guys. There was an agent that spoke to an MLB writer and said, it's a bloodbath. It's ugly out there right now for Major League Baseball, especially in the farm system. I kind of just want to know what's next. Where do we go from here when you get a Scherzer comment like this or a comment from any player like him of his stature? What's the next move here? Does Major League Baseball continue to give these horrific offers and these deals that they hope that they can close? Or do they maybe give some more wiggle room, allow the players to make a little more money, and try to figure this thing out? We'll talk with Corey Brock, who covers Major League Baseball and the Seattle Mariners for the Daily Ticker. He'll join us next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. Amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in Daily Ticker time here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. A beautiful Thursday afternoon here in Portland, and we're talking Major League Baseball, Max Scherzer's comments that he put out yesterday. So we thought it'd be a good idea to bring on our good friend Corey Brock, who covers the Mariners for The Athletic. He's on Twitter at Corey Brock MLB. He covers Major League Baseball as well, along with the Mariners. He's been around the game for a while now. Corey, thanks for hopping on with us today. We discussed Max Scherzer's comments that he put out publicly. What is next for Major League Baseball? Where do we go from here? Because it feels like it's just such an impasse between these two.
Well, you know, I think the Players Association will respond to the MLB request here at some point. And I saw the Scherzer comments as well, and I think it's totally fair. You know, just looking at their situation, they've already gone through one pay cut, agreed to and negotiated one pay cut without the owners opening up their books. So why should they take another? So I had someone ask me earlier this morning if I thought that the owners would finally relent and open up their books a little bit so people had an understanding of exactly how rich these teams were, filthy rich, mildly rich, you know, on various levels, depending on where you are. But, I just don't see it happening. So I don't think we're at an impasse here. I still think the sides are talking. But honestly, there's a long way to go here before we get baseball back.
Well, and it sounds like their counterproposal is going to be, let's ignore that financial stuff, and here's our deal. We'll take that prorated salary that we agreed to in March, and we'll play 100 games and essentially play 18 games for free. I guess, one, do you think that's a fair counter argument for the Players Association to make? And then how fearful would you be, if that was the case, of the season potentially dragging out too late into the winter and then having the risk of having everything stopped?
Yeah, I thought 82 games was a pretty good number, especially since, I always thought July 1st was a bit ambitious. So we're not going to see that. So even if we're talking the middle of July, I think 82 games is good. Listen, what they want more games because that equals more money, right? Where the owners could come back and say, okay, a shorter season, potentially you could successfully navigate a second wave of COVID, if that is indeed the case. And plus, it puts you on an easier path to the postseason. And that's where the real money's at. So, I see what the players are saying here. And I certainly can sympathize with what they're saying. I think, you know, there seems like there's immense ground to make up here, but I think it's still something that's attainable. And I don't think, you know, I think one of the biggest issues, the one we're not talking about much at all anymore, is the health and safety precautions that will need to be in place for baseball to return. But I think we're getting to see both sides see eye to eye a little bit more on that than we ever will on the financial end of things. But I'm still hopeful that there'll be a season. I just can't see anything with 100 or more games and stretching into November. Maybe you're conflicting with the NFL. Nobody wants that. You're going to have to play in warm weather situations or in domes or covered stadiums. That's not a good situation. So I still think 82 games is the right number.
Yeah, it's going to be weird competing with the NBA and the NFL potentially in one season. You don't get that very often. Corey Brock, Major League Baseball reporter, covers the Mariners as well on Twitter at Corey Brock MLB. You talked about not talking about the safety precautions and all that. One element of it was regional scheduling. So changing kind of the fundamental divisional situation we have and the way they did the schedule before, they now have talked about wanting to limit to just your region. What did you think of that idea?
I love it. Selfishly, from a writer's standpoint, I think it's great. And maybe, who knows, maybe if this works, if baseball comes back and the regional plan ends up being kind of a hit. We know it'll be certainly lead to a fairly significant amount of savings for these teams in terms of their travel budget. And you look at the Mariners, who fly more miles than anybody else in Major League Baseball, just because of their location up in the Pacific, here in the Pacific Northwest. I like it. I think they should redraw all these divisions, and maybe you wouldn't just be playing games in the future against teams in the West, but maybe that's three quarters of your schedule. I don't know. I'm curious to see how this works, but I certainly do like the idea.
Well, and then one thing I know is people have speculated on, and I've seen a couple of different articles come out about it, and this is, again, pure speculation, but what the long-term financial ramifications are for Major League Baseball, and does that spur them to potentially reach for something like expansion sooner to try and make up for some of the lost revenue this year? Because even if you end up playing 82 games, you're still looking at losing $5 billion or somewhere in that ballpark. Is that an idea that makes sense to you if you're thinking of Major League Baseball? Instead of saying, let's wait for Oakland and Tampa, maybe we push to expand, you get those expansion fees out there, and people can make some money back sooner than later.
It'd be the quickest path, right? And also, I've seen that same argument, and I'll say this as a diehard growing up with the Seattle Sonics, as a kid, right, outside Tacoma, that I've seen that same argument for maybe the NBA, giving a franchise to the Seattle area. So, yeah, I certainly think, at least from, where we're sitting now as opposed to where we were sitting 2 weeks ago, I would have to think that those people in Portland who are trying to get a big league team here, I think that maybe this would have a little more legs. I still think there's a long ways to go before we could really viably talk about getting a team here. But, I think the idea is fairly sound and would certainly allow these teams refill those deep pockets, I should say, a lot quicker than normal.
Sorry to ask you about expansion because it's such an unknown right now given what they're currently battling between. But do you think, Corey, just your two cents, do you think it benefits a city like Portland who has a group, says they're financially capable of building a stadium and setting everything up? Do you think it benefits us more as a city to get a team without the season happening and Major League Baseball maybe being more desperate, or do you think that plays no factor whatsoever?
Yeah, maybe the desperation does help. And look, I think Portland is probably at the very top of that list of teams that Major League Baseball is looking at to ultimately expand to or maybe relocate a franchise. I seem to think expansion might be the way to go. I think they're at the top of that list anyway. So whether this would sort of grease the wheels and get that thing turning a little bit more to make this viable, I don't know. I can't say. But, yeah, I still think Portland's in a pretty good spot, especially what they've done so far.
Yeah, I'm curious to ask you, because I've wanted to ask this to beat writers, but I just haven't yet. With this new climate, have you guys had conversations about how you would cover games? It's unique because we hear they want to limit the amount of people at ballparks and maybe having announcers just stay back at a studio somewhere so they don't have to be there. Like, are you guys going to be at ballparks permanently? Are you going to be at home writing? Like, how's that going to work for you?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think they're still trying to sort through that. We're not nearly as important as the revenue split at this point. I think we're pretty far down the list on their concerns. But yeah, I know I'm thinking about that as well. As someone who lives in Vancouver down here, and I spend my summers up in Seattle and covering games at T-Mobile Park. Like, am I going to be able to go to the ballpark? What I will say is our clubhouse restriction that we saw at the end of spring. Training. I don't think we're going to ever get back in the clubhouses, and not for the foreseeable future. So what are teams going to do? Are they going to set up Zoom conference calls after games? What if I need to get somebody on the phone, working for The Athletic? We don't necessarily cover games. We're doing some bigger projects. Yeah. Am I going to be able to get someone on the phone if I need them? There's a lot of questions to be answered. Are we going to travel this year for games? I don't know. Maybe that's highly unlikely, but I'm curious to see how this all shakes out. But, I am a little fearful that our days are, that wide open clubhouse access. And let's be certain of one thing here. We have it better in baseball for media than they do in all sorts of other sports, even in college in terms of access. Maybe we're going to lose some of that, which is really too bad.
Yeah. Corey Brock here, Major League Baseball reporter, also covers the Seattle Mariners as well. And I want to ask you about that because I saw a story today. The Reds and the Mets are starting to cut their farm players. The Oakland A's have furloughed basically everybody except the owner. This is kind of the sad reality that you deal with when you have big financial situations. You start losing pieces. Now, farm systems seem to be the ones that are going to be cut first in different ways. Have you heard anything about what the Mariners are planning to do up to a certain date, past a certain date, with what their farm system is?
Yeah, no, first of all, they've said they're going to pay their minor leaguers their normal wage between now and the end of the season like they normally would have.
That's
which
great.
I think is a very noble thing to do and really the right and just thing to do. You spend so much money developing these prospects once you get them in your system that, you know, they probably feel it's really unfair just to pull the rug out from underneath them. And I will kind of caution fans who are seeing these reports today about minor leaguers being released. This happens at the end of every spring. This is really no different other than the timing of it. And it's really not tied to finances. Teams always have a purge of minor leaguers at the end of spring training. They decide, okay, you know, we only have X amount of spots moving forward. We can only hold this many guys. So, and then the other thing is too, guys, I'm fairly certain there's not going to be a minor league season. So I'm really curious to see what happens for those minor league players. If they just end up in Arizona working out, playing inter squad games, it's really sad. It's too bad. I take my boys to see the Hops a few times a year and see KL and Mike out there, and it's such a great place to watch a game. I really hate to see, you know, a minor league season come and go without any games.
Yeah, you really hope they can survive long term because they don't have that TV revenue to rely on like some of these professional teams. The other thing that's right around the corner for Major League Baseball, strangely, is I believe the draft is coming up in like a week and a half, and they've labeled, I can't remember the exact number of rounds, but it is way cut down. So I'm just curious how the Mariners, what have they said about that, how different their strategy is going to be, because I think there's a couple of rounds and then just a free-for-all to go sign all the undrafted players.
The draft is typically run around 40 rounds. It's going to be limited to 5 this year. So, there was something like 1,200 kids that were taken last year. Now it's going to be about 150. So, you know, there's going to be some guys who are going to miss out on opportunities to become professionals this year. It's going to lead some guys back to their schools, let's say four-year schools, maybe University of Portland. You remember they got off to a real hot start this spring. Maybe they'll be able to keep some of those kids. Where I think you're going to see who's going to really benefit from this are community college and junior college teams that will now get an opportunity to get guys who are maybe just like, hey, okay, we're just going to sit this one out. I'm not going to sign for $20,000, which is the most you could give a guy after the 5th round. Maybe I'm just going to play at a JC this year, and I'll enter the draft next year and hopefully better my stock and certainly better my financial portfolio. So, yeah, it's been a challenge for these teams trying to scout guys. It involves a lot of video work. I talked to a lot of scouts who it certainly had to rework the entire way they do their jobs. But, the Mariners draft 6th overall. You know, I'm sure they'll end up with some good players. They seem to do a pretty good job in terms of amateur scouting. But, yeah, it's certainly changed the landscape about how teams approach the amateur draft.
You know, Corey, I've enjoyed your coverage on the Athletic with the Mariners and just a different random stories. And one I enjoyed recently was one on Taylor Rapp, who did a 10,000-calorie exercise. And I was disappointed. Did you not participate in this?
Yeah, you know, I was on board until they said, you know, they were going to burn 10,000 calories. I was up for the intake.
Yeah.
I think we could all get on board with that. You know, we could head down to Great Notion and just drink the day away.
Yeah.
But did you see in the story, and it's a really fun story.
It is. It's a great story.
A table of goodies that Taylor's girlfriend had sort of prepared for Taylor and Austin Shenton, who's a Mariners minor league prospect. They're good friends. And so they undertook this 17-hour journey to burn 10,000 calories in one day. It was a lot of fun, and it sounded like they had a lot of fun doing it. It's another example of kind of the fun stories we get to write. Even in a situation where there's no games to cover or anything like that, there's always good stories out there. So, yeah, that was a real fun one. I would encourage people check it out.
Well, and when I saw the picture, now that you say it, I don't blame you at all. I'd want to participate in eating 10,000 calories too, looking at that spread they got on the table. But hey, sometimes you got to burn them to eat them, right? So there we go. Corey Brock covers the Mariners, does a great job covering Major League Baseball and telling great stories for the Athletic. Corey Brock, MLB on Twitter. Corey, thanks for hopping on, man. We appreciate it. I hope you're doing all right during all this. And hopefully there's a season to cover pretty soon.
Yeah, it sounds good, guys. Call me anytime. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. There we go. Our good friend Corey Brock, longtime writer, covers the Mariners, covers Major League Baseball, does an exceptional job. Give him a follow on Twitter, @CoreyBrock, MLB.
Look, I'm always going to love baseball. If baseball comes back this summer, I'm going to watch it nonstop because it's one of my favorite sports. But they are not doing themselves any favor, I think, with fans in the short term and the long term. A lot of people might flock away from the game like we've seen in the past. And then you add in what they're doing to minor leaguers, not paying them. And then we can't overlook the impact of the MLB draft. You're talking about going from 40 rounds down to five. About 1,100 guys that usually get drafted that are now going to go undrafted. And as Corey pointed out there, the most that you can sign for if you're an undrafted rookie is $20,000. 20 grand. Like, how many guys are gonna say, no, thanks, I'm going to go back to college? How many guys are you going to get that maybe are tweeners like a Kyler Murray? I know he's a unique example as number one overall pick, but I'm saying, man, I'm going to go play. Why would I do that for 20 grand? I'm going to go play another sport. I'm going to lead another way. They are shooting themselves in the foot short-term and long-term.
No doubt about it. All right, coming up next. Doesn't want to be in Cleveland. Who doesn't want to be in Cleveland? Why does Cleveland still suck? I don't get it. We'll talk about that next on The Fan. All right, we'll talk with Akili Smith at 1 o'clock, former Oregon Duck quarterback, NFL quarterback, now coaching. Let's talk Ducks, QB evaluation. We've never had him on the show, so looking forward to it.
First time, how weird would it be, too, as a rookie quarterback going into a climate like this?
Yeah. Yeah, what does he think about the Bengals? Drafted by him, obviously.
That he was.
And then Herbert. I'd love to hear his thoughts on Justin Herbert as a pro prospect. All right, let's get to this. The Cleveland Browns made an aggressive offer to Jadeveon Clowney, who originally just said didn't want to go to Cleveland. But Adam Schefter told the radio station in Cleveland, the Browns have clearly made the best offer that Clowney has received. He refuses to go. Browns general manager Andrew Berry said last month that Clowney's a good player and he's always looking to add good players, but otherwise the Browns haven't said anything about their level of interest. The problem, however, appears to be Clowney's level of interest. He's recovering from surgery on a core muscle and may not have many suitors right now, but he appears content to wait to see if someone else comes along because he doesn't want to be a Cleveland Brown that damn bad. That story via ESPN, but wow.
Cleveland's that bad, huh? No matter, they have made the most aggressive financial offer for him, and he's still saying no.
I sometimes actually feel really bad for Cleveland.
Yeah, like this is pretty bad.
They get the worst rap of any pro sports city. As much as we get made fun of, you want to go to White Portland?
Yeah.
Yeah, it pales in comparison to what people say and think about Cleveland. I've never been to Cleveland.
Neither have I.
I'd love to know if somebody went and was like, dude, it's actually a pretty good time. Cleveland's not bad.
Imagine it's one of those cities in the summer, too, that it's nice. You know, like if you're going to be in there in the middle of the winter, it probably sucks if you don't like the snow. But if you're going to be there in the summer, like, yeah, it's every place is almost nice in the summer. This one, like his quote, Clowney's, was essentially saying, I want to wait until I get a chance to talk to somebody in person. He seems to think, it sounds like in the back of his mind, that if he gets that opportunity, the offer that he wants will be there. If he can show them, one, you're mentioning the surgery that he's overcoming, that he's healthy, that he's mentally in it. He wants to win. That's clearly a big part of it and why he's entertained the notion of also returning back to Seattle because he knows they have a chance next year. And maybe that's part of the reason of not wanting to go to Cleveland. They were a dumpster fire last year and he wants a chance to win. But he seems to think if he can get in front of an NFL GM and we get past his quarantine stuff, which it sounds like is going to happen sooner than later in the NFL, that then the offer will come that he's been waiting for. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it sounds like that's his thinking right now.
That's the offer. You think he's okay? So not you, but him. It's interesting his thought process on this and his agent's attack to it too. Where's this deal magically coming from? If somebody wanted to sign him for this big money contract that he's looking for, why would it not happen yet? They're proceeding as usual. Great question. I mean, the state of Texas just announced today that not only will pro sports be able to play June 1st, they're going to start opening up stadiums to 25% capacity. So the NFL is going to be moving forward. And I think more states are going to be on this once the season gets here, barring something horrific. The NFL has nothing to wait for. Their season's going on as usual. They just did a draft on on Zoom. Yeah. So I think it's wishful thinking on his end to assume there's some great deal that's magically going to appear. We don't know who's offered how much, but if Cleveland's offering you this big money contract, I mean, maybe it is as simple as him not wanting to play in snow and live in Cleveland. Sure, okay. But they've offered you the most money. You don't want it. I don't know what else you're waiting for.
Yeah, they said there was a CBS article on it that said it's been a slow process, and he basically suggested that they need to get an in-person look at him before he's going to get the money that he's seeking. But to your point, I don't really understand how that – I think it's a little wishful because
– He was looking at what, 20 – he wanted 22?
North of $20 million a year.
$22 million a year?
North of $20 million a year. I don't see you getting that based on the numbers that you put up the last couple of years. What did Buckner end up getting – with the Colts, I think it was right
91.
Around, right, but it was around 20 a year, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it was like 21, 22.
Okay, so he got essentially that offer, but he's a little bit younger, and I think the production has been better for Buckner.
Hold on. Sorry.
Because if he can't, like, if you're not going to get it now, at what point does Cleveland also say, like, yeah, you know what? No thanks, man. Like, we gave you the offer.
4 year, 84 for Buckner.
Okay.
So there you go.
So, yeah, it's a little north of $20 million a year.
I think he's like at 21.
Yeah, so if you're not going to pay him to that level now, is getting an in-person meeting going to change your mind? Now, maybe a team jumps at it for a one-year opportunity to get him because you feel like you're a pass rusher away and you throw $21 million at him for 1 year.
See, I think that's what he would be more in line to get, not a long-term deal,
not a four-year
averaging
deal.
21 to 22
yeah,
a year.
Right, and I think the injury stuff pertains far more to a guy like Cam Newton who's trying to get in front of teams that show them that he's healthy. I can move. Look at me. I look good. I'm ready to play again. I don't necessarily have that thing with Clowney. I don't think it's a big injury thing. I think people just are balking at the idea of paying him north of $20 million a year.
I don't disagree with that. Cam Newton is a guy that has a lot more to prove by having an in-person physical and an in-person evaluation. But if Cam Newton were to go to, I don't know, insert any team that you think needs a quarterback or should take a chance on him, even if he tests out great, shoulder looks healthy, looks fine throwing the football on the field, he's not getting a big money deal immediately.
No.
He's going to get a short-term deal that if he can play back to his Cam Newton potential.
Then it comes.
Then the monster extension will come at that point. I can't fathom a team suddenly going, especially this late in the year, seeing Cam Newton in 2 months and going, oh yeah, Cam looks great. Here's 5 years, $120 million, you know, or whatever it would end up. I can't foresee that for Cam Newton. So conversely, I don't see how Clowney thinks he's going to get this. I could be way off on this, but I've looked at all the teams. There's a lot of teams that have made deals, signings, et cetera. Yeah. And he hasn't gotten anything. Who else is out there that's suddenly going to give you this great deal?
Yeah, it's because when you want $20 million, and if you read the reports on it, initially when he was first on the market, they dropped immediately down to like $17 million a year.
Because he's not worth 20+
no,
a
not.
Year. He does.
He's not
as good as he can be. He's had far too many snaps and seasons where the consistency's just not there.
Well, and there was one team apparently that didn't value him more than $10 million a year. And the Eagles, who apparently were looking for a pass rusher, immediately said they like took him off the list because he's like, no way that guy's worth $20 million or $17 million a year. We're striking him from our list. We're going to seek some help elsewhere. This becomes a question to me of what exactly does Clowney want? Does he want a chance to win? Is that why he's balking at the idea of going to Cleveland? Is because he wants to go to a good situation to win? If that's the case, why aren't you signing back with Seattle? Because I guarantee they would love to have you for that $15, $60 million range.
Well, they've made that known publicly.
Right?
They've said as much.
They would take him for $15 million or $60 million, I'm sure. Maybe $17 if you can get some incentives in there. Is it just about making money? Is it just about getting to that $20 million range? Because then it sounds like, again, Cleveland is the only one that has come close to that because the reports are that they've offered him more money than any other team in the league. So It looks like a weird situation right now where he's in between deciding what is important to him. Is it winning at this point in his career or is it getting a lucrative contract to make as much money as he can before his playing days are over?
We'll have some more NFL stuff. Russell Wilson wants the Seahawks to go get Antonio Brown. And I don't think he's wrong. But it's a risky move, so I get it. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later. But up next, kickoff hour number two, former Ducks quarterback Akili Smith will pick his brain on quarterback play, developing players, and just talk general football. Keely Smith joins us hour two straight ahead, Dirt and Sprague on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.